Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So today's gospel, the famous story of the man who was born blind, I don't know. To me, it's like one of those like very touching, like moving, like powerful stories in the gospel. And I think the thing about it that we find, at least I think the thing that we find very like powerful about it, is it's a great story about someone like in the worst possible state. Like the most hopeless person, even by his own standard. He's the one who said, since the world began, it is unheard of that anyone would open the eyes of one born blind. So this is someone who's in a state that his chance of getting out of this state is 0%. Of all the millions and millions of people that have walked the face before this guy, not one has ever been through what he's been through and gotten his situation solved. So we like this story because it shows that Jesus truly is the hope of the hopeless and the help of those who have no helper. And there's no like situation that he can't reach to, and there's nothing that he can't solve. And there's never, ever, ever, ever a time that we would be without hope as long as we have him. That's what we like about this story. But I got a problem with the story. There's a very important question that the story begs us to ask, and I think that oftentimes we don't ask it. We kind of skip over the question, and maybe we come up with like a nice spiritual sounding answer, either because A, we don't know the answer, but I'm afraid that it's not that we don't know, but it's that we do know, but we're scared of the answer. And the question is this. Why was the man blind? Why was the man blind? Everything has to have a cause. Everything has to have a reason. Why was this man blind? Did he do something? Did his parents do something? There has to be a cause. And the way me and you think is just exactly the way like the disciples think. The first thing the disciples said when they saw this, the first thing they said, not even what's his name, first thing they said is, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That's the way we think. It has to be either him or his parents. And I'm sure this poor blind man, every single day for his entire life, 100 people walk by every single day, and they would whisper, whose fault was it? You think it was his? Oh, you know what I heard? And then you know how it goes from there. Oh, I heard his mama. I heard his dad. Oh, no, I heard when he was young. And you know how that goes. Of course, it doesn't happen here, but you know how it goes. That's our nature, is try to figure out, okay, what's the cause here? Who did I do something? Did they do something? Because it really, really, as bad as it is to suffer, it's much worse to suffer and not know the cause. You guys remember the story of Job. Job was suffering, and his friends would come and say, no, I'll tell you the reason why, it's because of this. And I said, no, I'll tell you the reason why, it's because of this. And the same thing over and over. It's hard when we don't know the reason why. What's the reason why he suffered? Actually, I'll tell you what. You know what's harder than when we don't know the reason why? You know what's harder? When we know the reason why? And the reason why is, whose fault is it? It's God's fault. This is the first thing, as Jesus answered. He said, neither this man nor his parents, but the works of God should be revealed in him. So if you're going to blame someone, blame me. Look, suffering. Okay, a lot of times we suffer because we make bad choices. And we can understand that. And a lot of times our suffering, like a lot of times the Lord would come to someone and say, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Your suffering was caused by your sin. Like the person who drives 100 miles an hour and says, Lord, deliver me from the court. No, it's your fault. That's why you're in jail, because you drove 100 miles an hour. Or the one who spends all his money, buys cars and electronics and toys and stuff like that, and says, Lord, deliver us from the financial burden. No, that's your fault. That was your sin that put you in that state. We can understand that, and we can kind of accept that. But how about when it comes to this guy suffering like this, and the only answer that we can get is that the works of God should be revealed in him. Okay, God, you had to choose this way? Like, God can do anything. Why don't you show your works through, like, 5 loaves and 2 fish? Come to my kitchen and do 5 loaves and 2 fish. That would help us out. Show your work in that way. Come and give me like a small little problem at work, and then come make like show everyone that because I fasted and prayed that they should bow down before me. Like, reveal yourself in that way. Why did you choose to reveal yourself in making me blind from when I was born? And blind from when I was born, he's a beggar. He's worthless. He's so worthless that the people openly talked about him in front of him. Okay? We never do that. At least we talk about them behind their back. But they just went right in front of him and said, this miserable person right here, who made him miserable? Was it his fault? Like, openly right in front of him. Can you accept this? Like, let's be honest. It's a nice story. But do you really accept this answer? Do you accept John 9:3? Do you accept that or you don't accept that? That the Lord would do something which you would see as the worst thing possible and say, it's just so that my glory can be revealed in your life. It's because I want to do a great work in your life. Do you accept that? Here's what I discovered. We can accept it with other people's stuff and with big stuff. Oh, yeah. You know, Hurricane Katrina, because you know New Orleans was a very, very bad city. So God wanted to reveal himself in that city. Easy, because you live here. Or we say, you know, the wars over there in the Middle East, that's to show all the people. Easy, because you live here. The 9/11 was to wake this country up. Easy, because you weren't in the building. Easy. Forget about 9/11. Forget about Hurricane Katrina. Forget about the wars. I'm talking about you see a loved one with cancer, suffering, dying. You accept this? You see a son, a daughter, a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, and the doctors can't figure out the answer. You accept this? You do everything right, and your life is destroyed at work, and you don't know how you're going to feed your family. You accept this answer? It's not easy. It's not easy to accept that my suffering, my weakness, my sickness is so that the glory of God could be revealed. There's 10,000 other ways that God could reveal his glory, but that's the way he chose. Let's try to wrap our minds around this here today. And I think the key to understanding this issue is understanding my true state. And what I mean by that is strength versus weakness. One of them is my natural state, and one of them is not. We think incorrectly that I am strong and I am able, and then every now and then God just sticks something in my life and I become weak because of it. So the man is strong, but then God gave him this weakness. That's what we think. And that's why we get messed up, and that's why we complain, and that's why we get bitter, and that's why we're miserable people. The truth is the opposite. The truth is not that he was strong, God made him weak. The truth is that he's weak, and you're weak, and I'm weak, and God gives us strength. What I'm saying by that is strength is not our natural state. Weakness is our natural state, and that's who we really, really are. We are weak by nature, all right? We are frail. We are nothing. Our life, as James says, is but a vapor. It's but a mist. It's nothing. From the very beginning when we were created, God showed us how weak and frail we are. Look, it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. We forget that. We forget that. That we're dust. That we're nothing. That we're worthless. We're here today and gone tomorrow. Okay? We're nothing. But then God gives us life. But then the problem is, when he gives us life, we get married to this life, and we start to feel like this life is ours, and he doesn't have a right to take it away. And we get the two confused. Let me tell you how God gave this lesson to me in a very visual way, because God knows I need to see things. My least favorite place in the world to go is the hospital. My least favorite place. I don't mind visit people in jail. I don't mind go visit them home and new house and blessing all that stuff. I hate to visit people in the hospital. And the reason why is because when I go visit people in the hospital, I'm face to face with the frailty and the weakness of man. And my struggles, my weaknesses, as I don't like to think of myself as weak. I like to be strong. I like to be in control. You walk through a hospital and you realize you're not in control of anything. This past week, I hate hospitals. I went to visit 3 separate people in 3 separate hospitals this past week. I took a tour of all of them. I know all the best parking spots. Arlington, Fairfax, Fair Oaks. Ask me a question, I'll tell you exactly. Because this past week, God made sure that every single day almost, I went. And actually, there was a 4th person who was going to the hospital, and he called me, but I was on my way to another person in the hospital, so I wasn't able to go visit him, so I told him to check him out later, and luckily he didn't need me to go. So this week, God was trying to teach me something right here. And especially the places that you go in the hospital. You want to see weakness? Go walk around the intensive care unit. Go walk in the intensive care unit. You see weak people. People who outside of that intensive care unit are strong. Strong people, rich people, powerful people. But the truth is, they're not. Go walk in the oncology section, the cancer people's. Go, what I did something I know I was not supposed to do, but I did anyway. You know the NICU? You know what that is? That's where the little babies ICU, the little babies, the newborns. Okay, I wasn't visiting someone there, but I was walking by and I got the clergy pass, so I went in. Go in there. And you know what you'll find? You'll find a lot of weak dust. That's who we are. We don't like that. We like to dress ourselves up and comb our little hair and drive our nice car, and we like to act like we're in control and we're strong and we're... that ain't us. That's not us. We're weak. You're weak and I'm weak. Our problem is we don't like to admit our true state. And if you don't admit your true state, you're going to get yourself in trouble. The blind man knew he was weak. So when Christ came, no problem. You know the opposite of the blind man who didn't know his weakness, who was like the co-star of the story, but like in the bad guy role, was the Pharisees. And if you compare the Pharisees to the blind man, you'll see the blind man knew he was weak, no problem admitting he's weak, and that's why when Christ came, he accepted all the help and strength that he could from Christ. Pharisees, when Christ came, hold on. We don't necessarily need you. We're good on our own. And that's why the Pharisees ended up in trouble. Let's compare the two, the Pharisees and the blind man, and let's kind of compare ourselves here to see if we know our weakness or we don't know weakness. Because it's easy to kind of say, but let's try to test ourselves. Do we admit the truth about ourselves, or we like to pretend that we're strong? I give you two attitude differences between the Pharisees and the blind man. First one is an attitude of obedience versus an attitude of criticism. Let's go back in the story. Jesus came to the blind man. Blind man knew his weakness. Blind man knew he was miserable. Blind man knew he was zero without Christ. He was zero. He knew that. He was zero. What did Christ do to him? What was the first thing he did? Spit. Second thing he did. Took some mud, smacked it on his face. What was the third thing he did? He said, you, go over there. Go wash at the pool of Siloam. Like 2 miles away. What did the blind man do? Sure. He accepted it. Okay. Which pool again? That one or this one? Yes, sir. This is crazy. This is crazy. This is a crazy thing to ask of a blind man to walk 2 miles by himself. Like, ask anyone else to walk 2 miles. Don't ask a blind man with spit and mud on his face to go walk 2 miles. This doesn't make any sense. This is crazy. But the one who's weak, and the one who knows he's weak, and knows he's dust, and from dust he came, and to dust he shall return, the Lord comes and says something crazy. Yes, sir. Pharisees. Jesus came to them. He didn't spit on them, but he did give them some harsh words. That's actually the Gospel of Matins this morning. It was Matthew 23. Y'all know Matthew 23? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And Jesus kept telling them, you guys are in trouble. You guys need to change. You guys aren't walking the right way. And what do they say? Who are you to tell us? And how dare you do this? And you said this on the Sabbath, and you did that on the Sabbath, so you're actually the one who's wrong. What happened with the Pharisees? Pharisees said, hold on there. You're telling us what to do. Let us tell you what to do, because we're strong. We don't need you to tell us what to do. We know what's going on. We got a situation under control right here. All the problems of the Pharisees, all the problems of the Pharisees summarized in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. All the problems of the Pharisees was, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. They thought themselves to be something when they were nothing, they deceived themselves. And my fear is a lot of us do the same thing. If we think ourselves to be something when we're nothing, we deceive ourselves. We need to have the attitude of the blind man, which is we are nothing. So when God comes and says something, even when it's crazy, I say, God, I don't have enough money. God says, okay, give more. It's crazy. I say, God, I'm lonely. God says, great, get rid of these friends. I say, God, I got problems. God says, great, go help that person solve their problems. Criticism or obedience? Judge yourself. Second difference between these two guys, Pharisees and born blind man, was an attitude of caring versus an attitude of judging. And here really, I'm really talking about the Pharisees and what they lacked versus what they had. How you view yourself, I promise you, the fruit of it is in your dealings with others. You'll see it very clearly. So that way you can't deceive yourself. If you view yourself as truly weak, it will change and transform the way you look at everyone else. I promise you, especially those who are weak around you. If the Pharisees realized how weak and desperate they were for Christ, what would they have said when they saw this great miracle? What did they say when they saw this great miracle? Here's a man who's desperate. His whole life just wanted one thing, to have sight, to stop being ridiculed, to live a semi-normal life. That's all he wanted his whole life. That was his only prayer. He finally gets his wish granted. And what do they say? You should have waited till Monday to do it. How dare you do it on Saturday? You should have done it on Sunday or Monday. You should have done it on the wrong day. You're a sinner, man. Get out of here. What? If they truly realized their weakness and their own poverty, you think they'd have said this to this man? Or you think they'd have rejoiced with the man and said, that's great. The one who knows his weakness will never have an attitude of judging, but always be compassionate. That's why here I'm not comparing necessarily the blind man, but compare the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. As Jesus was with us, that same attitude that we're called to have with others, we'll never have it unless we realize that's him with us. We'll never be able to be that for others until we realize that he was that for us. That we were weak, he gave us everything. So when I see someone weak, I don't judge them, I don't criticize them, I don't ignore them, but I seek to give them because I know that I'm only standing here today because of everything that God has given me. Every time we start a prayer in the church, we always start with Thanksgiving prayer. Why? Because two times in Thanksgiving prayer, we admit how weak we are. Two times we admit how weak we are. Don't we say, for he has covered us. Supported us, helped us, supported us, spared us, brought us to this hour. He's covered us. What does that mean, covered us? That means if he didn't cover you, you'd be naked. He supported us. You know what that means? That means if he didn't support you, you'd fall flat on your face. And you need to realize that. That means he spared us. You know what that means? That means that you could not be breathing today, and you could not stand before a holy God today, unless it was for his mercy and compassion that gives us the boldness with which we can stand in front of him. We have to admit and realize our poverty and our weakness and our desperation and who we really are. And then when we do that, and then we realize all that God has given us, even if he tweaks and takes away a little bit and gives us a little bit of a thorn in the flesh and gives us a little bit of an illness and gives us a little bit of a hardship or a trial, we say, thank you, Lord, for all this that you have given me. You know who had that attitude? That's Job. Job had that attitude. That's why Job, in his trial, was not tripped and didn't mess up. The Bible says about Job, when all this catastrophe happened to Job, he says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job did not say, how could God do this to me? And how could God take this away from me? And doesn't God know? And Job didn't say any of that stuff. He says, this situation, I hate this situation. But that's who I am. I came naked, I returned naked. God blessed me for a few years to live not naked, to live clothed, a very short period of time. But that's not who I am. I know who I am. I know who God is to me. Therefore, I praise the Lord. Let me tell you why this is so important. This is so important that you figure out this week. Because next week we're going to come back, and next week is Holy Week. And if you don't got this down before Holy Week, you're going to get messed up during Holy Week. You're not going to be where you need to be. Because in Holy Week, he's going to say some stuff. And Holy Week is going to come and say that he's crucified, but that we should also be crucified. And Holy Week, we're going to say that we should deny ourselves. And Holy Week, we're going to say that we should forsake all and follow him. Holy Week, we're going to say all those things. But do you really believe those things? Do you really believe those things? This week is the week that we get ourselves ready. And we say, you know what? I'm like that born blind man. I got nothing. Everything I have, Lord, is yours. So if the Lord comes and asks for something, it's yours. If you come and ask for something, Lord, it's yours. We're not going to, like St. Peter said, Lord, I follow you all the way to the cross. We're going to be saying the same things. Lord, I follow you all the way to the cross. But as I'm journeying on that way to the cross, I'm not holding on to anything. I know everything that I have is the Lord's. This is the time we be like that blind man. We realize our weakness, our poverty, our desperate need for him, how he's everything, how we're nothing. You do that, you come back next week, it'll be the best week of your life. You don't do that, and you still come back next week, you're going to have a rough week. You're going to have a rough week, and it's not going to be the same for you. God wants us to realize that we came as dust, we go back as dust, and nothing, no strength is of ourselves. Glory be to God forever. Amen.